the ball. This is News Talk.
You're very welcome along to Tuesday night's Off the Ball. It's Owen here with Kevin and Richie and with you all evening until 10 p.m. this evening. We're talking to Mick Foley a little bit later on about some of the big GAA stories that have been doing the rounds over the past couple of weeks. We're going to try and get to the bottom of what's been going on with Páirc Caoimh, and we're also going to chat a little bit about Galway GAA's finances. That is coming up after 8 o'clock. We're also going to be joined in the studio tonight by Tricia Heberle. She is Team Ireland's new chef de mission for the Olympics, and we'll be hearing about her plans for the role in the lead-up to Tokyo 2020. And of course, we're going to be speaking to Andy Mitten and Gary Breen later on as well, because the big story of the day is that Manchester United have parted company with this guy.
I think I'm ready for it. So I could say I'm happy, I'm proud, I'm honored, I'm everything. But the reality is that what I love is to work, and I cannot wait for 7th of July to go on the pitch.
In May, there was the FA Cup. In August, it's the Community Shield for Manchester United.
Very, very good season. We prefer this way than finish fourth, than finish third, than finish second. We prefer this way.
David Silva takes. Lukaku defends. Oh, and it's a gift for Otamendi, who's in on the scoring act again. And Manchester City are back in front.
King Stoke! We're Man f***ing United! That is just shocking! He got outclassed by Pep there. In a
fake empire. Sanchez. Pogba 2-2! In a flash, the scene has changed! Shades of red on this blue-blue day!
I think there's question marks over some of the players that have been brought in, definitely.
Yeah.
Have they been good enough? No.
I gave a list to my club of 5 names a few months ago. I wait to see if it's possible to have one of these players. If it's possible, it's possible. If it's not possible, it's not possible.
Ben Yedder in here. There's the goal. The Sevilla have been threatening. This and Ben Yedder has put Manchester United in deep, deep trouble.
We went from David Moyes, run down the wing, cross it into 50 million times. They went from LBG, pass, like f***ing team and crab sideways anyway. And now we've gone to park the bus, no tactics whatsoever. Where do we go from here?
If tomorrow rains in London, it's my fault. You know, if there is some difficulty to have the agreements of the Brexit, it's my fault.
He's rapid and he's thrown, he wraps it up for Tottenham. United's worst start since their very first Premier League campaign in 1992. It's a scoreline that will resonate around the football world. Manchester United 0, Tottenham Hotspur 3.
3-0. But also mean 3 premierships, and I won more premierships alone than the other 19 managers together. 3 for me and 2 for them. Respect.
He's coming out in press conferences, he's constantly having to go at players, he's having to go at people above him because he's not getting what he wants. I think his mouth is probably out of control and I think he's embarrassing the club.
I am the manager of one of the greatest clubs in the world, but I'm also one of the greatest managers in the world.
Back to Shaqiri, deflection! Jordan Shaqiri, the super sub! Surely now Manchester United are beaten!
Big breaking news, Manchester United have sacked Jose Mourinho. He was appointed in 2016.
Are they going to get the manager that they want for the next 3-4 years at the football club? It's not just as easy as saying, well, let's get rid of the manager, because Manchester United need to reset.
That is the beautiful work of Richie McCormack right there. I'm almost getting emotional that Jose Mourinho's left Manchester United. How is that possible?
I don't know. It's a strange one because...
Richie just put it in a nutshell for you with that great montage there.
Yeah. I think we're losing something with Jose going. Like, last night, I think I'd reached a tipping point in the sense of how much more can we talk about this. Like, clearly, if nothing's going to happen, then there's no point. We've run out of road in terms of the machinations of what might occur over the next few weeks. But they made the decision, he's gone now, and there is a sense that, at least in England, that's probably his last big job.
I was going to say, do you think we'll see him in the Premier League again?
I would say it'll be a while before we do, and if he is going to be a Premier League manager again, there's a sense in my head that he probably needs to alter the way he does things, because both tactically and in terms of how he deals with those above him, because most big clubs now, wherever it is, Italy, Holland, England, and beyond, they all have director of football head coach. He doesn't want to work with a director of football.
Yeah.
That autocratic nature is dying a death in terms of club football and successful clubs and the ones that you can mark out as being successful. Like Bayern Munich point the way towards having a hierarchy which stops with the manager just above the players, and they will work with that. He needs to find a way. If he doesn't change his ways of not wanting to work at a director of football, he's going to find it difficult to work at a Premier League club or a club that size.
I think it might not even necessarily be the next 5 years. How old is Jose Mourinho now, Rich?
55.
55. So even when he got to 60 or whatever it will be, there'll still be a Premier League club with that are willing to make investments. And I'm thinking now, recent seasons, you look at someone like Leicester and the wage bill that they've put, that they're on a different level now. Someone like a Leicester, someone that's maybe outside the top four, top six teams, but are willing to go and throw some money at it.
What is it, would his ego take? Because you look at where he's been since, like, Porto's a massive club in Portugal.
Yeah.
He leaves them to go to Chelsea, who were splashing the cash and had a bit of a name value about them at that stage as well, and obviously still do.
But he won Champions League, though, then, Richie. But he wins the Champions League, goes to Chelsea.
But he wins the Champions League, goes to Chelsea. He goes from Chelsea to Real Madrid to Milan to Manchester United, like, I mean, and another stop at Chelsea in between. Like, they're all operating at a certain level. With the greatest respect to Leicester winning the league a couple of years ago, I don't think that level club, and I know you're just picking them as a hypothetical, would satisfy the ego of Jose Mourinho to
that's a good point.
Live
that's,
life
that's
around the
point.
King power.
But
the thing that will satisfy the ego of Jose Mourinho is potentially the money that Real Madrid have to spend. And does he want one last splurge where he's allowed to do what he wants to do in the transfer window? Because maybe that kind of haunted him a little bit this summer, where he was like, I'm Jose Mourinho and I'm being told that I can't sign this player despite the fact that we have the money to sign it.
And realistically, was he a success at Real Madrid? He won the league, but to be a success at Real Madrid, you've got to win the Champions League, and he didn't do that there. So that could be something that, if he were to be approached for that job, it would certainly be appealing to him, with a better calibre of player, that he can actually go for a Champions League there as well.
Big compliment coming in on the text machine from Robin Malahide, saying the best thing about that montage is the misery in Martin Tyler's voice and the delight in Nathan Murphy's, which is...
Can we put that to bed right now? Martin Tyler is not a Manchester United
fan. Just Anthony Martial.
Yeah. But are we saying that Nathan Murphy's a Liverpool fan?
Oh, no.
Oh, definitely not. No,
neutral. He's a Premier League commentator.
Yeah.
He's a professional.
You're not allowed to support a team as a commentator, are you? You simply are not allowed. You're not allowed to like football in general because you've grown up your whole life. Yeah.
Just going to cover over Manchester for the next half an hour.
Were you surprised by today's news?
No. I was on with Richie and Joe last night, and we were chatting around it. And I said, I wouldn't be surprised if he goes tomorrow. And it obviously didn't know it was going to happen then. I wouldn't be surprised if he went in 2 months' time. The inevitable was going to happen. He was a dead man walking. He's been a dead man walking for weeks and weeks now. When Richie put in the montage there, the Sevilla game, and Joe and I again, and Richie spoke about it last night, that seemed to be the start of it. The way that he went out the Champions League last season, getting beat against Spurs at home this season as well, that was another one.
It's called a marker post.
He's gone. He's gone. And it was this figure that was being bandied about, if they were still in the Champions League, they'd have to pay him X amount. I wouldn't be surprised if that was a bit of a stumbling block. And I think they've just thought, look, let's just cut our losses. We'll just get rid now. Now, there's quotes that he's going to get 15 million, there's quotes he's going to get 25 million. Whatever it is. Is that a big deal to United? They're going to pay an extra 10 or 15 million. It's no difference to them. The atmosphere around the club was poor. I said to Joe last night, the amount of times I'd be on flights back into Manchester from Dublin on a weekend, on a Friday or a Saturday, the United fans were going over, and it was the mood wasn't great when you were talking to them. So it just doesn't surprise me, no. They have to bring that feel-good factor back to the club again, it wasn't there.
It's like what I was saying to Susan earlier on the hard shoulder. Like, you look at the gap between United and the Champions League places now, it's, 11 points. Under Jose Mourinho, that gap was more than likely going to get bigger.
At best, stay
the same.
Yeah.
Should they bring in somebody new? Should they change things now? You know, 11 points isn't insurmountable, especially at this point of the season.
Agreed.
It could come to pass that United end up finishing in the
top
four.
Actually surprised that the United board were so decisive in taking action. That's the one thing that surprised me, because we saw the David Moyes situation get a lot worse before they acted. We saw the Louis van Gaal situation get worse.
Well, not really. They got rid of David Moyes before the end of the season. They give him, 8 months in the job, 7 months in the job, whatever it was. So you don't necessarily think... Now, I'm not saying it was going to go right. It probably would have gone wrong anyway, ultimately. So they probably did make the correct decision. But Moyes went early, and I don't know. I think they probably... I think, as I said before, the feeling was that Mourinho wasn't the right man at the end of last season. That's the way that I saw it, particularly when they knew full well they weren't going to back him in the transfer market. They knew within the club he wasn't the right man for the job. And that's something that Gary Neville spoke about. Why give him that contract last January if they had that feeling only 3 or 4 months later that he wasn't the right man for the job?
I wouldn't necessarily buy the acting decisively thing. I mean, the fact that we do have an end point today, you know, suggests that, yes, there's been a clean break. But ultimately, like, we've been talking about this for, like, a year.
Yeah. Well, I expected it to act after the PSG doubleheader.
Yeah, I think a lot of us did. There was talk of that 7 million perhaps being saved. But like you say, that 11-point gap was only going to get bigger between now and then. And that was what was going to get them back to the Champions League.
What was the priority for United? Was it being in the Champions League next season, or was it a few quid to a manager? That's the way I think. And again, it's a lot of money, but it's United.
January's around the corner. They weren't going to give him you know, a pot of cash to go and buy players that were just going to be another Eric Bailly, Victor Lindelof.
And
kind of
if it is a Solskjaer, like we're hearing, someone that's going to come in and take an interim role, how much money are they actually going to give him, Rich? What they, you know, if the manager who they want at the end of the season, because that's the way I see it, it's a manager at the end of the season that they want. He's probably in management at the moment, so they have to try and sort out a compensation package for the manager that they want. So are they actually going to be talking to that manager now and saying, well, look, we want to sign him? No, stay away from him. Are they going to trust the manager that they're getting now on an interim basis to actually give him funds? Because what's the point in doing that? They might as well just say, well, I'll tell you what, it's almost if you're wiping this season clean now or clear now, that's it. You're putting drawn line in the sand. We are going to just get by to the end of the season and build for a future. So it's almost if you're writing 2 years of United off now by what they're doing or what they've been doing over the last few years, essentially.
Yeah, for sure. It is the story of the day, and there has already been a massive reaction. You can get in touch using the text number 53106, or you can tweet us as well using the handle @offtheball. A very good evening as well to our YouTube, to our Periscope, and to our Facebook viewers. We're with you until 10 o'clock tonight. Just to go through a flavour of some of the texts before we get into your news round, Richie. Gary Timothy on Twitter says, please Manchester United make Roy Keane interim manager. The end of the reign of error and the beginning of the reign of terror. Graham Lonergan on Facebook says, how can he go from glory with other clubs to this? That is the question. And a point on Real Madrid. Real have only won the league twice in the last 10 years. Jose's league win definitely makes his time there a success.
Yeah, it was. I totally take that. But I'm saying, as Real Madrid manager, what is deemed a success at Real Madrid is Champions League football, isn't it? Champions League. And that's
winning the Champions League.
At this point,
they probably want a little bit of something different.
Yeah.
Like Perez apparently wants a domestic cup, but he got bored of that and wanted a Champions League once again.
It's been a while.
You've got details, Richie, of who's likely to replace Jose.
Yeah, and there is a lengthy list of contenders with the bookies to replace Mourinho as Manchester United manager this evening. Michael Carrick has been placed in temporary charge at Old Trafford, notionally until the end of the season, but former United players like Ole Gunnar Solskjaer and Laurent Blanc have both been mentioned as potential appointments. Jamie Jackson reporting this evening that Solskjaer's interim appointment could come as soon as tomorrow. Current Tottenham manager Mauricio Pochettino, he's distanced himself from talk linking him with the United job. It was Sunday's 3-1 defeat at Liverpool that was Mourinho's undoing and leaves them 11 points adrift of the Champions League places. Gary Neville was among the first to react to the news this morning and says the sacking has been a long time in coming.
I said on Sunday after the game against Liverpool that Manchester United have been crawling along on their hands and knees minute after minute, hour after hour, match to match for the last few weeks, months, and it's been unpleasant, it's been unsavoury. You could see on the pitch it's impacting the players who, to be honest with you, at this moment in time just look completely, I don't know what word you would describe, but they look demoralised. Some games they look disinterested, some games they look inspired for 20 minute periods, but so inconsistent. And the sacking of Jose Mourinho, to be honest with you, is a result of what happened last summer when Jose came back first day of pre-season tour and said basically, he started sort of making complaints in the media. You knew that this was going to rumble on, and there had to be a sort of control grabbed at that time. It wasn't.
Kev, you've been crunching the numbers today.
Yeah, there's a story going around. I'm just shocked to see Kenny Cunningham on TV tonight. That's the only thing Kenny Cunningham's turned.
Why does that shock you?
He's back in the good graces of Montrose.
He's back on. I'm not too sure who's who, him or Richie Sadler, actually. But
they really should have talked better about pairing them, shouldn't they?
We talked about everything, but the reports today of Jose Mourinho leaving. Obviously, we know the story. He stayed in the Lowry over the last few years. He didn't want to rent a place. He didn't want to buy a place in Manchester. So he's lived in a suite in the Lowry for the last few years. Apparently, as he checks out today, the final time, a bit Alan Partridge stuff, but £537,000 was the eventual bill.
Jesus. I'm leaving you, cow.
I mean, can you imagine?
How many days did he stay there for?
Nearly 900.
Yeah, 800.
What's that,
800,
like
600
quid a day? 895
day stay.
Yeah, 600 quid a day.
That's it. Is that you've done the crunch?
Off the top of my head.
Jesus. Yeah, you just worked that one out the top of your head. Yeah, 537,000. That's unbelievable.
According to Mike Keegan in the Daily Mail, one resident who did not wish to be named told Sportsmail that Mourinho had a final meal at lunchtime in the bar of the hotel when he returned from Carrington.
Do you know what, though? And part of that as well actually does... It does annoy you, doesn't it? I mean, there's something else there, but it does annoy you. I mean, that just goes to show the excesses of football nowadays, isn't it?
Largesse.
It's ridiculous. We talk about grassroots football through in every country of the world, and there is even over in England, there's a big thing. Grassroots football doesn't get enough filtered back down through to it, and that's embarrassing. It is. That should not happen. It simply should not happen.
Who's it embarrassing on behalf of Jose Mourinho or Manchester United?
Both. Everybody, yeah.
Both. Everyone concerned. Why can't you just get an apartment? Why can't you just do it like any normal
just
person?
Just rent
would
a
do.
Gaff.
Yeah, rent a gaff. You don't need to buy anywhere.
Yeah.
Go rent a place for a few years and...
You're not short a few quid, like.
I think, honestly, that's poor, that. That's just wasting money again.
You don't have to live like Alan Partridge, you know, in your travel tavern, afraid of the maid opening the top drawer.
If it is a travel lodge or a Holiday Inn or something, fair enough, yeah. There are other hotels.
It's a suite in the Lowry. Which is, you know, for anybody's sake, it's a lot.
That's madness.
It is quite a bit, I'm not going to lie. We've also had some amazing suggestions for the next Manchester United manager tonight. Paul on Twitter, though, first of all, has got his sympathy in the right place. Mick McCarthy, he says, must be kicking himself, #MUFC. While an anonymous texter says, I would like Eddie Howe, young, plays good football, not controversial, not confrontational.
I cannot see that in any way.
We're talking about the office earlier on. The chain of events that seems more likely, I think, for everybody involved would be if they gave Pochettino the permanent gig and then Spurs came knocking for Eddie Howe. That seems a better fit for everybody. United just seems too big for Eddie Howe right now.
I couldn't see that.
The Eddie Howe suggestion, I presume, is at the end of the season, he would still not be interim. Like, once you get to the end of the season, you could probably get somebody better than Eddie Howe.
Zinedine Zidane.
The big question around him is obviously, why would you take the Manchester United job when you've had his track record? But then again, what job do you take when you've got his track record? Because everything is a risk in comparison.
There is the massive one, again, it had been reported in certain places that Zidane is destined to take the Qatari job, isn't he, for the 2022 World Cup? So
that's great.
Exactly. So what does he want? Does he need to take that job? It depends what he's after, doesn't it?
Zinedine Zidane, I would suggest, Kev, doesn't need to take any job. It's a question of what's
I would, I would suggest to that too, Richie, actually, yeah.
He can afford to stay in the Larry for 900 days as well if he wants to.
Graham on Facebook says, that's not right, living in a hotel. He could have bought a nice house beside Pogba and all would have been okay. While Mark in Limerick says, Manchester United, normal service has resumed. A badly run club at Notions who've had 25 years of success and will disappear into the doldrums again for 20 years, like the 70s and 80s again. Wow. Hooray. I suspect
there's a lot of residual bitterness built up over the last quarter of a century in that texture, isn't there?
There's a lot of enjoyment from a lot of supporters, isn't there, towards Man United or against Man United with what's happened over the last few years.
Wind from opposing supporters when you hear the Liverpool ones on Sunday chanting please keep Mourinho or don't sign Mourinho, like they wanted him to stay there.
Yeah,
you know.
I hope Liverpool fans appreciated this enough because it will turn again, and Manchester United, you suspect, will be successful.
You can't see it in the next few years, can you? You can't. Not the next couple of years. I mean, again,
three seasons time.
Seriously,
I made this point last night, and they shot me down. But I can see it, like three seasons. This is
too much money floating around at United.
No, for a better term, this is turnaroundable. Like, they can get the players in.
Talented players
at
the club.
There are talented players already there.
I still feel as... Yeah, I mean, potentially, yeah. I don't know. I just think they've fallen way behind City now. And I can't see City falling away from it in the next couple of years that dramatically. I can't see Liverpool doing that. I think Arsenal and Tottenham and Chelsea, are going to get even stronger as well. And I just think United are off them all. And obviously, the league position suggests that. So
That's the structure of the club. The clubs you mentioned there all have a hierarchy that is set in place, whereas United's, we kind of look at Ed Woodward, we kind of look at the Glazers, but in terms of somebody guiding the football side of things, it just seems a bit rudderless.
Yeah,
and their recruitment and everything else around the club bears that out over the course of the last 3 years.
Probably right. Maybe I'm looking too deeply. But I do think it will take two or three seasons before they're going to get back. And then you're looking at it, you're approaching a decade without United winning a title. You are, though, aren't you? Then
you've just made people dance out there.
Yeah. But it is, though, isn't it? I think it's going to be 2 or 3 years before they win a league anyway.
A couple of more suggestions.
At least.
Hi, guys. First, yes, you were right. A hotel bill of $500,000 is obscene. Second, Arsene Wenger for manager. That's Eugene in Belgrade, of all places. Very, very good to have you along, Eugene. Sir Harry Redknapp, then. King of the Jungle, says somebody else. Bring back Moyes, says another listener. And put your money on Jim Gavin, which is the go-to joke at this point whenever there's a managerial vacancy. There is football on tonight, Richie. Yeah. It's not just Jose Mourinho dominating the headlines.
The EFL Cup reaching the quarterfinal stage. Tonight, holders Manchester City are at the King Power to face Leicester. The big news from a City team news point of view is there is a first competitive game, in fact, for 17-year-old Eric Garcia. City line out with Murich in goal. They've then got Walker, Stones, Aguero, De Bruyne, Mahrez, Otamendi, Zinchenko, Foden, Garcia, Diaz. This done by squad number rather than position, of course. Whereas for Leicester tonight, they start with Ward in goal, and then a back four of Danny Simpson, Sancho, Maguire and Fuchs, Choudhury, Ibora and Ndidi are in midfield with Gray and Ghazi either side of the former Man City man Kelechi Iheanacho. While the lowest ranked side left in the competition, they're Burton Albion of League One. Nigel Clough side, of course, they go to Championship promotion hopefuls Middlesbrough, and both of those games have 7:45 starts.
There's been some transfer news in rugby.
Yeah, Leinster, another loan move away from them. Tom Daly joining Connacht until the end of the season. The Leinster centre has joined the Western Province amid a mini injury crisis in defence of the sports ground. His first game for Connacht could likely come against Leinster at the RDS this coming Saturday. While news of FA Cup replays, one tonight and some more not to be, the FA has announced that FA Cup replays will be scrapped from the fifth round onwards. The move was agreed by the Professional Game Board and has been introduced to alleviate fixture congestion, with six Premier League clubs qualifying for the knockout stages of European competitions. Sticking with that theme, a home tie with 13-time champions Arsenal await the winner of tonight's second round replay at Bloomfield Road, where League One side Blackpool entertain non-league Solihull Moors, a side managed by former Blackburn and England goalkeeper Timothy Flowers.
Rich, I thought that was in place anyway, that replay thing. Was that? Is it?
They have rubber stamped it today.
Right, okay, sorry, yeah.
They suggested it. And
yeah, it got too much, hadn't it? It got too much, particularly when you get into the second half of the season and the bigger side that's left in it, Champions League, is a priority now. FA Cup has fallen way down the pecking order. So having replays, obviously, were introduced to try and help the minnows of getting big replay, big paydays, weren't they? So
get a draw, go back to your home.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
or get a draw at home, go to the away ground. You got, was it half the gate receipts?
Yeah.
So I think that's more than fair, because he's too much now on the players, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Jordan Murphy's been rubber stamped, Richie.
Yeah, he's been confirmed as the permanent head coach of English Premier side Leicester today. The former Ireland fullback has been in temporary charge at Welford Road since the sacking of Matt O'Connor back in September. Murphy has been handed the reins despite Leicester not winning a game since mid October. That was against the Scarlets in the Heineken Champions Cup. A Tottenham supporter has been fined and banned from football after throwing a banana skin onto the pitch in what's been called a targeted gesture that had a racial element. The incident occurred during the North London Derby, and Avarov Pantelli has admitted throwing the item in the direction of Arsenal striker Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. He's been handed a 4-year ban from football and fined £500 in the process as well.
Dave has been in touch with a question for you, Kev. It's about the Jose Mourinho hotel stay. How many mini bottles of shower gel does that amount to?
I'm sure he hoped he bought his own shower gel.
Yeah.
Because those mini bottles are
like
absolutely brutal.
Yeah, but in a suite in the Lowry, they probably get it what he wants.
No, it's still going to have the little teeny ones.
Do you think?
What's with your pent-up anger for little shower gel bottles?
Yeah.
As a giant person, I kind of resent anything that's in miniature.
I don't know. I'm not fond of hotels anyway myself, actually, hotel stays. But no, I'd like to think that Mourinho would have had... Mourinho would use the best beauty product, surely. Would he not know?
Apparently, possibly. Apparently, he is understood to have settled his room service charges on a weekly basis during his lengthy stay in one of the upmarket's Riverside suites.
And is he expensing that?
He'd have to.
Presumably.
It depends. No, when you used to go, you used to get 3 months stay in a hotel when you signed for a club. So I say when I went to West Brom or Sunderland, up to 3 months stay in a hotel, and it was all your basically your accommodation, any added
food
extras.
Board.
Yeah, any added extras were i.e. room service, and you had to sort out yourself. I would imagine that would be the case.
West Brom weren't paying off your minibar bill.
No, I tell you, honestly, they shafted me well and truly, honestly. Seriously.
God knows you tried them.
Do you think Mourinho actually went down and had his dinner with the rest of the people in the hotel? Or do you think everything was just up
he
to
sat
the room?
There, he had his goodbye lunch in the bar.
Yeah, of course. I can imagine that. You would imagine the boredom on you, just staying in a room the whole time with your jacks.
Just he's there. The Manchester United manager of the past 2.5 years is on a first name friendly basis with all the staff in the hotel, asking how the day's going on. He's like, you know, hello, Dave. How was cleaning going today? Many on the fifth floor.
Actually, what a sad reality that that's where he ended up. I actually, like, I've never felt sorry for somebody spending half a million on hotel
no,
fees.
No, honestly, and I tell you, I can imagine, no wonder he's depressed. I mean, I couldn't think of anything worse, staying in a hotel for that amount of time.
It's not home. You need a home.
No chance.
Wherever, like, if you're in a job like that, if you're in that kind of high-level position, you need the security and the kind of safety blanket of, like, locking your own door behind you.
Yeah, with you.
Anthony in Dublin has been in touch to say if Solskjaer comes in, it should be to replace Lukaku, not Jose Mourinho. That is an absolute drum roll right there.
Zinger.
What's your thoughts on the Solskjaer thing briefly here? Because there is obviously the sense of he managed Cardiff there and it was desperately unsuccessful. Is it unfair to just tar him with one brush?
Well, I mean, he's got better players as well. They're not going to be in the trouble that Cardiff were in. Part of the club, he's coached at reserve team as well. For United, he's coached reserve team. He's clearly the manager is not available to them. That's exactly what it is. Why he was walking away from Molde, I think he's still coaching and managing there at Molde, isn't he? So that's a big one for him to walk away, unless he's going to get guarantees of his own future going forward. Is he going to be part of the next manager's setup? I don't know, but it's a big one for him. That's a big one. Personally, I think if they know who the manager is, and we will find out about that in the next couple of weeks, whoever he is, whoever is going to take that job, it's just going to be unsettling for that manager in that club or wherever he's at the moment. So I'd rather they just went, I'll tell you what, let's go and get him. Let's just make sure that we can go and get him. But obviously it can't be done at the moment.
Richie, you've got a couple of more stories.
The darts. Daryl Gurney is the second round star attraction of the PDC World Championship tonight. The Players' Championship winner faces Ross Smith in the last match at the Alki at Alexandra Palace tonight. Carlos Steve Lennon is in first round action as well. He takes on the Aussie James Bailey. That match underway with Alan Norris awaiting the winner in round two. Something of a shock in this afternoon's second round games with 13 seed Darren Webster beaten by Vincent van der Voort. And there are also first round wins today for Roby John Rodriguez, Daniel Larson and Japan's Seigo Asada, who goes on to face the 9th seed James Wade.
I watched Barney last night.
Barney didn't look at it at
Barney
all.
Barney got beat. He's had her transplants and everything. Rich, and you might want to be kept keeping it short at the moment. You don't want to.
He's had the fairway resodded, has Barney. Yeah. And he didn't look happy last night.
No,
it's the penultimate appearance of the World Championship.
I know.
He was at the first round.
I know, that's it, yeah.
So baldness isn't directly proportional to lack of happiness. Is that what you're trying to say?
No, I'm just miserable, meow.
All right, fair enough. That makes perfect sense.
It's nothing to do with being follicular challenged.
It makes perfect sense. It all makes sense to me now. Yeah. Richie, good stuff. Thank you very much for that. We've got updates from Richie on the Carabao Cup throughout the evening. Next, though, we're chatting to Andy Mitten of United with Stand, and we're getting stuck into the Jose Mourinho departure. What is next for him? What is next for Manchester United? We'll chat to you after the break.
Off the ball on News Talk.